today's guest is Toby Crawford. And Toby is in her late 40s. She's had a very interesting midlife pivot. Well, you'll hear her story, but she's always had a gift in music. But in terms of relationships and health, she's had a pivot in her 40s. And I think her story is very interesting. And I loved meeting her and talking to her. But she taught at the high school level in Canada music. And she's jazz. She's into jazz specifically. But she taught in Canada. She's Canadian for 10 years. And she was teaching choirs, bands, music theory. And then she uprooted her family, her son, her husband, and she moved to China, Shanghai, China, where she taught music. She was the head of the fine arts department, and she was director of music there for 5 years. And then she decided to go get her master's at the University of North Texas, which is very renowned for its music. And she got her master's degree in jazz voice performance. So yes, she can sing too. Multi-talented. She did not sing on the episode. I should have asked her to sing something. She currently is living in Iowa and is the co-director and professor of music at the School for Music Vocations. And she said that's like school is super famous and it's in the middle of nowhere, but people go to Iowa just to go to that school. So just hearing her story and how resilient she is as a human being and how brave she is really inspiring. I love Toby's authenticity, her vulnerability, her honesty. She is somebody who tells it like it is and is also a great role model for anybody who is feeling like they need a change, a big change in life. So without further ado, let's get to the interview. Hi, I'm Laurie Wright, also known as Not Your Average Grandma. I created this podcast as a place to go for midlife inspiration. If you are in a stage where you believe the best is behind you, it is my hope that one of these episodes will ignite a long suppressed or unrealized desire, and you will see the potential within yourself just waiting to be tapped so you can do amazing things with the time you have left. I want you to stop seeing your age as a limitation and start seeing it as your superpower. You have years of experience and value that a younger you never had. So it's time to lean into that and use it to fuel your future. No more letting age hold you back from the pursuit of a more passion-filled life. The more passionate we are, the better the world will be. So stop settling for average, put your AirPods in, and let this episode inspire you to take the first step in transforming your mind, body, and soul. Welcome to another episode of Not Your Average Lives. And today's guest is Toby Crawford. And Toby is a musician, actually a jazz musician. And she does a lot of things with music. So I am a music newbie. I don't know a lot about music, but it's something that I've always wanted to learn, Toby. We were talking before I hit record and I didn't even tell her that. But like my favorite shows are American Idol and The Voice just came back on. So I'm like loving it. But yes, she's multi-talented. She can sing and she can write. She's, what do they call it? Compose. Yes, compose. Yeah. Yes. And she is a Canadian. She was born in Canada, but she is an Iowan. Is that what they call it? She is living in Iowa and she is a director at a music school or co-director. Mm-hmm. Yeah, co-director at a music school. Very important role that she's playing. And it's the school that she got her master's in, right? Or you?
It's a school that I first went to after high school. So
okay.
It's a junior college.
Mm-hmm. A junior college. Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? The reason why I was attracted to Toby is her story. We met in a podcast group. But she doesn't have a podcast right now, maybe in the future, but she has a really interesting midlife kind of pivot story in terms of it was a relationship and health. weight loss. And so I just love the fact that, you know, when we get to midlife, a lot of people, it's kind of a defining moment to make serious changes. And Toby really did that. She even moved to China. So she'll talk about that. So she has a son, a grown son, and a life partner right now. But yeah, Toby, so why don't you talk about like just who you are and kind of what, let's start with a story about where you were when you were like, I think 42, and you were like, I just want to uproot myself and move my family to China, because that's super interesting.
Yeah. I was living my life with my husband and my son in Vancouver. And I was a high school teacher, teaching choir and band. And we were just struggling. It's little known that Vancouver has the highest real estate prices on the continent in North America. And so after paying my mortgage and car payment, we had no money left over, you know. And so it's, even though my ex-husband and I, both teachers, our lives were not happy and good. And so I'd heard from other colleagues that had taught abroad that it was, you know, it's doable with a family. And especially since my husband was a teacher, I literally just typed in Canadian teachers abroad or something, and there's a website for it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Google every time.
Google every time. And it was just, I think that the website was called like Canadian teachers abroad or something, that, really obvious. I'm like, oh my gosh. And so I started scrolling through, and there weren't a lot of hits for music teachers, just because I'm a specialist. And even my area of jazz, I wasn't even looking specifically for jazz, but just music. There weren't a lot of opportunities for that, except in China. These hits kept coming back, and it was like drama and musical theater and music. I'm like, well, I can do all that. And so I set up an interview with the principal. And then at the end of the interview, I said, by the way, my husband, he teaches social studies and math and PE. And so he was basically hired on the spot. And then all of a sudden, I was moving my family to China.
So this was a Zoom call or something, I guess.
It was. Oh my goodness. Yeah. It was before Zoom. I can't remember what it was. Skype, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's true what they say, like China's internet is horrible. So we were lucky to even have an interview. But it was a matter of months that we had to get our life together. And I lost some friends over it. Actually, my best friend, I no longer speak to. He thought this was the worst decision I'd ever make, and I'm gonna lose everything. But you know what? I've never been the person to like have a life plan. Like, I've never been like, I'm gonna plan 5 years ahead, and this is what I'm gonna be doing. I like to just be open to new opportunities. And I thought that this would be fun. my son was just going into the eighth grade. So in Canada, we just have high school and elementary school. So it would mean that my son would go there and he would do high school. And then maybe we would reassess like when he graduated. And so...
And your husband was on board, I guess, with the whole deal.
My husband was one of those guys that was just like, yeah, sure, okay, like no resistance, just he'll go with me and do whatever. And I mean, I'll skip to the end of the story where we are now separated, but he's still in China. He's hopefully going to get out this year. Just after COVID, no one wants to stay there with COVID still like actively going on, and they're still quarantining people. Like it's still crazy. So yeah, he's still there.
So how long ago did you leave?
I left 3 years ago. So in 2019, and I knew, like, as my son was a senior, I knew that like something was going to happen. I didn't know what it was. Like, my son, was he going to go off to college? My relationship with my husband, although we're great friends and good companions, and we saw eye to eye, and we had lots of like common interests. We started a dog rescue over there and rescued over 100 dogs.
Oh, I love that.
We just weren't romantic anymore, and I think that's a familiar story for
That,
many
yeah,
people my
that's my
age.
story too. Yeah.
Yeah, and
25 years, I got divorced after 25 years, but we were great friends, and but more like brother and sister was kind of what our relationship was.
And I don't know what it was. Like, I can't pinpoint what it was, but we had conversations throughout my son's senior year, about what are we? Like, can we fix this anymore? Is there no turning back? Or, when Phoenix is my son, when Phoenix leaves, is a chance to rekindle. I just knew that it would be some kind of major shift. And then I was on Facebook one day, and I follow an educator I greatly admire, who ended up being my teacher and professor, and she was looking for graduate assistants for the new year. And this school, University of North Texas, it's the oldest jazz degree in the country and the most prestigious jazz school in the country. And my whole life I wanted to go there. I didn't do it for my bachelor's. It's a big, scary move going to Dallas, Texas, and it's very intimidating. But when she put out this thing, just like, applications are open, and people, my friends started tagging me because they knew that, with Phoenix graduating, that something could be possible. And I looked at my husband and I'm like, should I apply? Like, I mean, I don't even know if I'll get in. But I don't know. I don't believe in signs, and I'm not religious, but there are some signs being thrown my way.
Yeah, and I love that it was like pre-empty nest, like you were prepared. So I find that people and you clearly have a gift and you know what it is. And so just being able to immerse yourself fully in that gift after your son was grown and less needing of you, I think is so terrific. So many people get in this like space of like they just don't know what to do. They're flailing and some have gifts that they haven't even tapped yet. So yeah, I love that you had kind of like a direction.
Because, thank you. And with the son, like with children in the home, I don't know how people like go away and do their master's degree. Like, honestly, it's not like I was waiting to do it, but I kind of knew that it had to be when I was childless.
Yeah, and you're a young
So,
mom too, it sounds like. Yeah, because
I
you, yeah.
got pregnant in college. So
Yeah.
yeah, I was a young mom. And for a few years I did it alone. My husband is not my child's biological father, became his dad. But yeah, so there were some things pushing me towards it, and it was really no stress for a while. I could audition, I could apply, and just see what comes of it. But then I ended up getting in. And so then the real planning started to happen. My son applied for his own college. He applied for a musical theater school. He's a very gifted singer. And then I got into my college, and so the plans started to happen about us moving. And he's going to go to Vancouver, and I'm going to go to Texas. And at first, my husband and I were like, "Well, let's see, like, where it goes." Even though I think we both knew what would happen. But yeah, when I moved away from China, we both knew it was walking away from the marriage, as we knew it.
Yeah, and I have to commend you because it sounds to me like your lines of communication were really open about it, with the goal being, happiness for both of you. I always, because I felt so guilty after my divorce of, when we were going through it after 25 years, because it was more me pushing it. But my ex-husband was so unhappy, and so I felt like I just had to be the one to make the change because ultimately the result would be both of us would be happy. And so, yeah, it sounds like you guys were really clear with each other about, making the right necessary changes. So that's great. Rather than secretly going off and like, filling whatever passion need one of you had, which a lot of people do.
They do. And I was not a cheater, and I've never been in support of cheaters. I've had, friendships kind of fall by the wayside because I don't agree with it. So I was really trying to be honest and open with him, and I think, like you, I'm a talker, and I can
Yeah.
talk about my feelings freely, and so, like, we just recognized that we were both not happy. But the guilt really came from leaving my son, and that's what hit the nail on the head for a friendship that I lost. Was about a month into my master's degree, and about a month into my son going to college. My son suffers from depression and ADHD. He had a scare with suicide, and I didn't know what to do, because my husband, still in China, me in Dallas, in the middle of, this degree that I left everything for, and then my son all alone in Canada to deal with something pretty heavy. My parents live in another province. They weren't there. And we eventually got through it with extended family, and some friends reached out to my son and encircled him. But my guilt leaving that life behind has more to do with the mom part of it. And then, of course, COVID happened, and I didn't see my son for 3 years, which just made everything so much harder. I couldn't get into Canada without doing like a 2 week quarantine on either end. So that never worked out with my schooling. And so, yeah, some people would call me selfish, but I just knew I had to do these things. I knew I was given this gift of, like, time and opportunity. And my grandmother passed away, I think a year before I went to college, and left all of the grandchildren with a pretty great nest egg that I was able to go to grad school and be debt free. So you know what I mean? Like, all of these stars aligned for me to be there. And
Well, yeah,
my
and I want to address the fact, that, the belief of selfishness, because I think the opposite is that we're selfish when we sacrifice our life for somebody else, because that is not what you want to model for your kids,
Right.
and other people. You want to model that, living your authentic self and going after what fills your cup. And then you become a better person, and the ripple effect is immense. And so, it sounds like your son, thank God he got through the difficult time, but he probably learned a lot that he can get through these things.
And the lesson that he learned was, it's funny how his life mirrors mine, because when I was a young person, I came to the school in Iowa, the School for Music Vocations. I was not ready. I had undiagnosed ADHD, and I have major depressive disorder. And so my son and I dealt with the exact same thing at the exact same time, like moving away from the parents, moving away from home, having to, like, be an adult, deal with money, go to school. It was too much for him, just like it was too much for me. And so right now he's on a break from school, and just trying, like, let's try being an adult for a little while. It's too much for some kids. And even, like, my students that I teach at, again, it's a junior college, so we're teaching kids right out of high school. Some of them, it's too much. So yeah, my son got through it by quitting school and just kind of reassessing his priorities, and I feel much better about leaving him, because he's now living with a partner, and they're kind of making their way together. And I'm trying to draw him back to me, because he gets free tuition at my school while I'm a coach there. So I'm like, come be a music student with me. Wouldn't that be amazing? Your mom's a teacher. It's not the best, but
That's great. I took a semester off because I was so burnt out and unhappy, and I was tired of being broke because my parents didn't, they didn't support me. I mean, they paid for my college, and then they gave me a very small amount every month. And I worked at the bar, at the college bar, to help pay for things. And I love that they did that because it taught me responsibility. And it wasn't, you know, like my daughter went to college with kids whose parents gave them credit cards and they had no limits. So, you know, different world they lived in. So I never went back after, you know, I took the semester off and then I met my ex-husband, so I didn't go back. And so, yeah, I totally get that it's sometimes you just need a break from that.
Yeah.
That environment. And I think too, it sounds like he's talented with music.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes school is really boring. Like you have to go through the stupid general, you know, like math that you'll never use. Right.
Yeah.
And stupid science. You're a music major. Would you really need science or chemistry or whatever the things are? So, and literature, I hated like English lit. Oh, that was so awful. I was an English major and I did not like that class. It was like, oh, I don't want to read about these people. But anyways, yeah, I was more wanting to write and do other stuff. But yeah, mm-hmm. so tell me about the weight loss journey that you've been on, because, you know, it sounds like it's quite a story because you were 400 pounds. Is that what I read that you had?
I don't even know, because, you know, at that point I didn't want to know, you know. I've been battling with weight my whole life. I dealt with some severe sexual abuse as a toddler. I started when I was 2 years old until I was about six or seven. And I suffer from amnesia from most of my childhood. But when the memory started to surface, I was doing a lot of self-harm in the form of just like eating, like binge eating, stealing food, just going into my room and crying. And well, not really crying, just like I felt messed up and dirty and weird, didn't know why. And that spurred like just this lifelong relationship, unhealthy relationship with food. But that was definitely my heaviest. And the reason why I finally did something is because, being in China, my husband and I, we made a lot of money, and the cost of living is like, our rent was $300 a month, you know? So we had all of this money and all of this vacation time. And, you know, we would go to Thailand and go for boat rides on, these little, you know, hand, or what do you call them? Like
kayaks or something?
Kind of kayaks. Yeah. It's like a floating market. And here I am, 400 pounds, like trying to get on the dock and then step down into the boat. My husband and my son went swimming with whale sharks in the Philippines. I couldn't go. Went to Italy and nearly died just after the first day of walking around the Colosseum. Like I couldn't do the things I wanted to do. So I had gotten to the point where I was following all of these healthy influencers, you know, like body positive movement, which I still feel a part of, because I'm still heavy. I'm still a plus size woman, but it was really just about my quality of life. I had to watch all of these experiences just pass me by. And so I didn't plan it very well, because every summer we had this very long vacation in Canada, and then we come back to China and hunker down and work for a few months. And within the first week of getting back to China, I was like, I followed somebody on Instagram, and she had just lost 50 pounds on keto. I'm like, I can do keto, because I did Atkins, you know, like 10, 15 years ago. I know that I have a predisposition for diabetes. And I feel great on the keto diet. Carbs, I'm gluten intolerant, lactose intolerant, soy intolerant. So I was like, yeah, you know what? I can do this. And I'm in China. I can't get any of those filler foods. So I'm just going to eat clean, just protein and salad. And so within a school year, so from like September to June, I lost 80, 100 pounds. That was when I decided, or that's not when I decided, that's when I left China. So I'm going to Dallas to be a master's student and I'm single again and I'm hot and sexy. And I felt like I didn't have a youth like that. I did not have a 20s like I had in my 40s in Dallas. Let's just say it like that. I had a great time. I went out with friends. I had some cute clothes. I was dating a couple guys and really just felt like this is the life that I've waited to live this whole time. I don't regret. I love my son. I loved being a mother. I loved all of the jobs I had, but I hadn't felt like me until I was, 42. That's when I landed in Dallas and the new me, you know? And so I did continue with the weight loss and I ended up losing a total of 130 pounds. I've since gained like 25 back, which, we'll see what happens, but I'm in a good space mentally. I can do the things I want to do. I feel good in my body. I have a partner and we have a great relationship together. So I'm at a happy place right now. Let's
That's
just say
great. That's
that.
great. Yeah, you had mentioned before I hit record that you think that your move to China was sort of a midlife crisis that you didn't even realize you were having. So, can you speak to that and what makes you think that and yeah, I'd be curious to know as you reflect on that time, what were the signs and what do you think?
I think a lot of the signs were with my career. I'm very driven with my career. It's not like I need to be the best of the best because like, what is the best teacher anyway? But I have really high standards for my ensembles. I wanted like my choir to be like, well, one of the best in the province. I wanted that, and I was getting some of that fulfillment from my career. But a couple things that really got me down was my teaching partner that I was working with. We did not have a good working relationship. He was much older than me, and never kind of dropped the like he's in charge and I'm the subordinate thing. Like even though we were musical directors together, we were co-directors. I was the choral head, he was the band head. It never felt equal. So I was frustrated with my career, and then we couldn't save money. We could afford to go on one stupid vacation a year, and it was like at the end of summer, and it was just going to a cabin on a lake. Nothing extravagant, nothing even like it wasn't even looking forward to. Like, so even though it is my personal opinion that Vancouver is one of the most beautiful cities in the world, I absolutely love my city. Life was depressing. I had an actual nervous breakdown in 2012 because I was working three jobs. I was working 80 to 90 hours a week just to make ends meet. Like just my health was failing. My mental health was not great. I was fighting with my husband all the time about money. And I just thought like, F it.
Yeah. What makes you different in that so many people just, just sit in those circumstances and they say, well, this is my life. This is what it is. And that just stay unhappy. So what is it that like made you just go Google something? I think that's fabulous. I think like people, like if you're not happy, go Google something, just see what happens. It's almost like the divine is driving you to like something new, something inside of you knew that it didn't have to be this way.
I don't know if like defiance was like built into me, but
Survivorship.
maybe because I'm a survivor and I don't owe anybody an explanation. I was the first person I knew of in my whole entire world to get a piercing, a facial piercing, and same with tattoos. Like I'm covered in tattoos. I'm the first person I knew way back 25 years ago when no one was getting tattooed. And I know now that part of my tattoos are like a shield. They're an armor. They're to help me like my body and like I have big arms and but I have tattoos on them now, so I feel good, like I like my body, and it's a way for me to kind of do that. And I wear what I want. I say what I want. So I don't know if that just like translated or transferred to kind of my view on life.
Yeah.
I've heard from so many people, oh, I wish I could go back and do my master's. And I always say, why can't you? Like,
Yeah.
really, what is stopping you? So many my like friends or acquaintances my age, like 45, as I was doing my master's, all the time I would get DMs, you're just so brave, I couldn't do that. And I've never understood why. Like, why can't you just do that? You know, is it are you afraid? Are you afraid of your husband? Like, and I think that's silly to be, you know, to ask your husband for permission for things. I've never been that person. And maybe because I'm a survivor and had to, like, you know, overcome that childhood abuse.
Yeah, I think that's a large part of it. Yeah, that's amazing. So, and I think too that what you were saying about asking for permission of husbands or spouses, if your spouse or partner isn't happy for you to be happy, like what makes you happy? If that person that you're with, that doesn't exist, that desire to for you to be happy, then you might want to rethink why you're with that person. I mean, that is
Oh.
not the way to live, right?
Yeah, I don't know what it was like. You said that your divorce was amicable, and same with mine, but I got into this relationship. It was the first kind of dude I started to date in Dallas. I now know after like therapy and trying to heal that he was a narcissist, or he is a narcissist. And narcissists have this power over women, and I wonder if narcissist men have power over women. I wonder if some of these marriages don't work out because they're so fearful of like admitting the truth, because I know I was like he was very nice and very loving and everything was great at the beginning. And then it got really bad and I just kept wishing for the old times. I'm like, you know what? Once he gets XYZ, then we're gonna go back to normal. And
Yeah.
then But maybe when I'm done school and I can move down here, like the commute won't be so bad. He lived like an hour away from Dallas. Then our relationship would be better. So I kept holding on for this future that just never happened, you know? And so I can see why some people like just stay in a bad situation, because it's scary. And it's also kind of humiliating. Like, hi, I just like left my husband and moved to Dallas and got a new boyfriend, and oh yeah, sorry, I'm 45 years old and I'm going through a breakup. Like
That was weird. Yeah. How long
was
were you
weird.
with your ex-husband? Probably 20
12
some.
years.
Okay.
It was only
Yeah.
12
I
years.
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got divorced in my late 40s. So I started dating my now husband and I was his girlfriend. I was like a 49-year-old girlfriend. And I was like, I had not heard that term because I got married when I was 22. I did not like being a girlfriend. I mean, that did not
No,
sit
it was
well.
also weird for me because I mean, I was a very awkward and very not mentally well 20-year-old. In my 20s, I wish I could take that decade and like just get it, wipe it away, but I learned some lessons, but I was still dealing with like sexual trauma, so I was
Yeah.
not good with that. I didn't know how to have like proper relationships with people, and so I didn't have a serious relationship until my husband when I was 32 years old. So it's like he was my first, and I wasn't smart enough. I didn't have enough experience. And so then going into dating as a 42-year-old, I'm still just drawing from my one experience in a relationship with my husband. And I know that's not unusual, because My now boyfriend, his brother and his wife have been together like since high school. So I know that that happens. You divorce and you kind of have to figure out how to date again. And so that was awkward. And as you mentioned before, like when we were before you started recording, I kind of have an online presence that started when I was in China. The daily vlogging thing and sharing of stories. And so my life is very public. And so my life with my ex-boyfriend was very like, oh, I love him and we're the best. And I was still going through that phase where I just want to show the best of things. And then I was like, yeah, so I just broke up with my boyfriend and, 43 years old, but whatever. So yeah, it was an awkward time, but I'm grateful for all of it.
Yeah, that's great. So
Like
you're
I
in
have
Iowa. So
to.
you left Texas to go to Iowa.
Yeah.
And so, and your boyfriend came with you. So
Yeah.
good. He clearly is a good one, follows his love.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so how long do you see this, the stage in your life, and what's next for you?
Well, it is. I've always known I don't have like life. I don't have like a 5-year or 10-year plan, but I've always known that I wanted to be a college professor and work with this age group. Just because, the level of musicianship is just that much higher than high school kids. And more importantly, I don't have to talk to parents.
That's true. Yeah.
You talk to any high school teacher or any teacher, period, elementary or high school, like parents are horrible, especially nowadays. They're,
Yes.
why did you give my son an F? Like, okay, whatever. I don't want to talk about it. Like
Yes.
these, so I love this age group. I love the music we get to make together. It's hard for me to live in very small town Iowa. And unless you've lived in a literal small town, you don't know how hard it is. Our one store is Walmart. To go get a haircut, I have to drive an hour and a half into Des Moines, into the city, Costco to get my car fixed. Everything is so far away, and it means that my partner and I, we haven't made any friends. So it's isolating here. The one saving grace is I do absolutely love my job, and I'm so busy with it that, from day to day and then week to week, they just kind of start to roll into each other, and time does fly, but I really do miss people.
Yeah,
Like
which might be
going.
one of the reasons that you go online as much. I mean, I
Yeah.
love that the fact that you're present online, but you're not like selling anything or pitching anything. It's just
Yeah.
you being your authentic self, showing up and,
Yeah.
saying things that could potentially help people. So I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have a question. Do you watch The Voice?
I watch it sometimes.
Okay.
Music shows in general bother me because I know what's really going on.
Yeah.
Like everyone's like, oh, you're like a choir director, like Glee. I'm like, like I can't watch Glee. I think it's like a doctor watching ER,
Yeah,
Like
yeah.
that's not the words. Like
Yeah,
that's
Grey's Anatomy, they would always have these far out like medical issues that
not. Yeah, it's like that's. Yeah, and like on Glee, it'd be like, guys, what song are we singing this weekend? It's like we rehearse months,
Yeah.
like it takes months to practice up a song.
Yeah.
It's not just like anyway. So
I
the
just
voice.
love what I love so much is watching somebody do what they love. Like when they just get into the music so much that they lose themselves. And I
Yeah.
love that to just like to watch that
Yeah.
happen. It doesn't happen with everybody, but it
No.
does happen. And those moments are just fabulous. My husband doesn't understand. He's like, what? I don't understand. I'm like, sometimes I'll cry, I'll see like,
Oh yeah.
there'll be a performance and I'll cry. But
The
yeah.
one thing I like about The Voice versus like American Idol and all those other shows, like I know people who have gone to like, the end or almost the end of American Idol. The one thing I like about The Voice is it is blind. The judges, they don't know what you look at. The one thing I hate though is like whenever it's like a fat girl and they walk on stage and people are like like snickering because she's fat, and then when she starts singing they're like, oh my God, They look at each other. I'm like, oh, she can sing. I'm like, imagine that. She's fat and can sing. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, some
So,
people, the overweight people can have some, like they have some pipes, I tell you.
yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
because a talent has no body shape, and so that's
Yes.
what I appreciate about The Voice, is
Yeah.
it really is, at the beginning anyway, it's blind and it's just
Yes.
about you
Yeah.
and you sing,
Yeah.
you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. All right, so I have a question for you.
Okay.
What advice would you give women who say, "I wish I could do what you did"? I think that's a good question. She actually wrote that question because I always ask my guests, what should I ask you? And I thought that was a good question that I'm curious to see what you say.
I think that it's all about the little steps. So I didn't jump into saying, okay, I'm going to move to Dallas. You know, I took a first little step by, let's just apply. You know, let's see where I could get into. So if your dream is to go back to school at whatever level, there are online schools now like crazy. There are opportunities in your local area to just go to college and like brush up on things. That is, I think, a way to get, just dip your toe in the water and just see what it's like to go back to school. Because I promise you, going back to school as a 40-year-old is 100% different than going back to school or going to school as a teenager or just going to college, like when you're 18. It's
Pros
you
and
are.
cons, I would imagine, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, I didn't, besides, you know, the kids looking at me like I'm an old lady, and besides me going literally in a classroom with kids young, like my son's age, which was kind of weird. Like
But you probably pay attention more than some of those other kids do.
I mean, I got a 4.0 average in my master's degree. Like I got perfect grades because, you know why? Because I gave up everything to be here. So it's an entirely different perspective as an older student. You
Yeah.
care in an entirely different way.
Yeah.
So yeah, just making baby steps. I mean, like I have a very entrepreneurial spirit. I don't know if you see my background. I have crafts. I teach calligraphy classes. I teach card making. I sell stamp designs. I have a lot of like different streams of revenue because I ask myself, what could it hurt to put it out there? Go into a scrapbook store and say, hey, I do this stuff. Are you looking for teachers right now?
You're
And
very creative. Yeah, I love that. I saw that something on you that you had did some kind of calligraphy online, on one of your posts. And I love calligraphy. When I was a kid, I used to play. I had a calligraphy set, and I love how it,
Oh,
those pens
cool.
can make you look like you really know what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, and next month I'm starting teaching calligraphy classes here in Iowa just
Oh,
because I went to
cool.
the store and I struck up a conversation and I was like, are you looking for teachers? And they're like, oh my God, we are. So, you know, like for me, it's just like the little steps, and then just doors are open to you at all times. It's just, are you aware enough to realize that it's a door that's open to you,
Yes.
and taking that risk and just walking through it?
Yeah.
Oftentimes it pays off. I don't
Yeah.
know a door that's been open that I've walked through that has blown up in my face.
Yeah, it'll always be a learning experience, right?
Right. Yeah,
And
you learn
so,
from it
yeah.
either way.
And you could learn something. People always say, "Well, I don't know how to do something." Well, go on YouTube. I didn't know
Yeah.
how to groom a dog, and I got the idea 'cause my person who does my massages in the neighborhood. There's a masseuse that lives in my neighborhood, and her husband during the pandemic taught himself how to groom. And I said, "Oh, how do you do that?" And she said, "Oh, he just went on YouTube." So I was
Yeah.
like, "That is a really good idea." So what
Yeah.
I'm going to do? I got this puppy during the pandemic, and I never had a dog that needed to be groomed before, and that's
Yeah.
expensive to take it. And then it never is right. When somebody else does it, the haircut's never right. So
Yeah.
I went and I had a hoot watching this one woman was hilarious. And so yeah, so that's what I do now. And so I learned a skill, and not that I could teach somebody, but you can easily like learn something enough to all you have to know is just a little bit more than somebody else, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's such a great.
And then the other kind of teaching that, like the whole scrapbooking, the craft world, you know, they're mostly adult students and they're mostly beginners. there are people like you that have said, like, I've loved calligraphy my whole life. And for some of them, it is, they'll tell me, like, they were scared to come to class because they were afraid that they wouldn't be good enough, you know? But there's always that statement, like, if it makes you happy, then just keep doing it, you know? Like, there's a good enough when it comes to art. Like,
And
just
where are
do
you
it.
doing this? Is it close by, or do you have to drive to?
I have to drive. This city that it's a city. I went to a conference in the city, and yeah, because yeah, there's no craft store in my town.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
But I built it into my price, so you know I'm not going to lose money, and maybe it'll be a long-lasting relationship with the store, and hopefully I can
Or
help
maybe you can
them.
do it on something online too.
Yeah,
So that's a
maybe during the summertime. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks so much. And it was great getting to know you. I think there's some great insights. And yeah, so we will keep in touch. I'm so glad to have met you.
Yeah,
And
thank you, Lori, for this opportunity. It's been fun.
thanks for sharing your story and being brave
Yeah.
and being determined. Yeah,
Oh,
and being a great example of what's
thank
possible.
you. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Not Your Average Lives podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe on iTunes if you have an Apple device. You can find free resources and learn what else I have going on at the moment that might interest you on my website at notyouraveragegrandma.com. You can also find me on Instagram or Facebook at Not Your Average Grandma. If you liked this episode, it would make my heart so happy if you could leave me a 5-star rating. You can also add a review to let me know what you like about this podcast, which will help spread the word about it to others who need a little midlife inspiration. As always, be you, listen to your inner voice, and focus on reigniting that lost spark so you can start living your own, not your average, life.